Hello and welcome to Future You, the podcast brought to you by graduate careers experts Prospects. I'm your host, Emily Slade, and this episode is for all budding solicitors out there. We take an in-depth look at the solicitor's qualifying examination, what it is, how it works, how much it's going to cost, and much more.
Hi, my name's Jill Howe Williams. I'm the National Programme Director for the Solicitors Qualifying Examination, which I'll shorten to SQE because it is a bit of a mouthful. So what that means is I'm responsible for the design and delivery of the SQE preparation programmes at the University of Law. And these are programmes which have been created to support students to qualify under the new SQE regime. So by way of a bit of background, I started my career in law as a dual qualified barrister and solicitor, practicing corporate law at a large city law firm. But after a number of years in practice, I decided to fulfill a lifelong ambition to become involved in education by joining the College of Law, as it was then called, now the University of Law, as a tutor in business law and mergers and acquisitions. And I have taught across almost every law programme at the university, including vocational law and master's programmes. I became the campus dean of Moorgate in 2016, USQE role in 2020. So as well as being very involved in SQE, I'm also very interested in the adoption of technology, both in education and in the legal profession itself. And I launched the Moorgate Legal Tech and Innovation Hub, and I jointly chair the university's Law Technology and Research Academy, which we call ULTRA.
Are you able to introduce the SQE route and sort of tell us a bit about who it's aimed at?
Yeah, of course. So there's a lot of background to the SQE. It's been a long time in the making, but it is finally here. And it was introduced by the Solicitors Regulation Authority, and it was devised as a centralised assessment for all would-be solicitors who wish to qualify in England and Wales. It was brought in to replace the previous route to qualification through something that was called the Legal Practice Course, or the LPC, which some of those listening to this podcast will be familiar with. Under the new SQE route, all candidates must sit and pass the same centralised assessments, which are delivered by the SRA through its assessment provider, which is a law school called Kaplan. And principal reasons for the introduction of the SQE by the Solicitors Regulation Authority were to create a level playing field by having these centralised assessments. So previously, all of the different law schools would set the assessments on their legal practice courses. And also, a great driver behind the change was to provide greater access to the profession by creating a route which many considered to be more flexible than the previous one. Now, there's no prescribed training course for these new SQE assessments, although obviously all the law schools and training providers like the University of Law offer SQE preparation courses to get students ready for the assessments. And I must say, and I think it's a sort of myth that I would like to clear up on this podcast, is that I think any student that considers sitting the SQE assessments without some form of preparation is very brave indeed. They are tough assessments, and the SRA, I think, would be first to admit that a proper preparation course would be required for the vast majority of students sitting SQE 1 and 2. So what does the SQE actually consist of in terms of these assessments that I've been referring to? So it consists of two new assessments, and they're known as SQE 1 and SQE 2. So put simply, the SQE 1 assessments will test on something called functioning legal knowledge, and I'll come back and explain what that means in a moment. And the SQE 2 assessments will, put simply, test students' legal skills. So what do they all look like? So the SQE 1 assessments are a pretty chunky set of assessments. They consist of 360 specialist multiple choice questions covering a body of law known as functioning legal knowledge. Now, functioning legal knowledge is a mixture of what we call academic law knowledge. So those are the foundation subjects that traditionally would be studied on a law degree or in a conversion course, and include subjects like crime, contract, tort, equity, land law, and so on and so forth. And it also includes vocational subject areas in practice areas like business law, dispute resolution, property practice, wills, legal services, criminal practice, solicitors, accounts, and ethics. So those vocational subject areas that you would need to know in order to practice as a solicitor. And those are traditionally not taught on undergraduate law degrees or on conversion courses, because those degrees are getting students ready for either side of the profession, so either for the bar or for solicitors, and those vocational subjects are really aimed at just the solicitor's side. So functional legal knowledge is defined by the SRA as being the application of knowledge of the law to demonstrate the competences required to the level of a newly qualified solicitor in England and Wales. And I think, again, that's a really important point. The level at which you are being assessed in the SQE regime is the level of a newly qualified solicitor. And this differentiates it from the previous LPC, where the level at which you were being assessed was a day one trainee. So it is a tougher set of assessments than the former LPC because of the level that is required. So looking at SQE1 and giving you a little bit more detail about what this involves, it's divided into two separate papers of 180 questions each, and those papers are sat on different days, in fact in different weeks. Typically SQE1 takes or is sat over a two-week period. So the questions, although they're multiple choice questions, are a specialised sort of multiple choice question called single best answer questions, which are frequently adopted by professional qualifications. And what students have to do is they have to pick one answer from five different choices or options. And I suppose the difference between them and a typical MCQ is that more than one option on the face of it could be technically correct. And the skill in answering an SBAQ or single best answer question well is being able to pick the option that is the most correct or the best answer. And that involves the skill of understanding the client's requirements and applying the law to it. And indeed, you may come across a single best answer question that has five technically correct options. And you can see that there's a real degree of skill required by students in working out which of those five options is the best one. So that's the SQE1 assessments in a nutshell. Each paper typically takes a student about 5.5 hours to complete. So you can see it's a chunky assessment on each day. You do get a break in the middle of the day. And they are sat in Pearson View test centres. So lots of people listening to this podcast will probably be familiar from those test centres if anyone's taken their driving knowledge test. And there are lots of test centres dotted all over the country, and students will book the assessments in the one that's most convenient to them. The SQE2, which, as I said a moment ago, assesses students' legal skills, is again quite a sizable set of assessments and involves 16 different tasks or assessments in the following legal skills. So they are advocacy, interviewing and attendance note taking, case and matter analysis, legal writing, legal drafting, and legal research. Now, all of those skills are assessed a number of different times, and they are based in scenarios that come from the functioning legal knowledge that I referred to a moment ago, and they are very much based in those vocational contexts from SQE1. So the oral skills, there are 2 days worth of oral skills assessments in interviewing and advocacy, and those are live and take place in front of an assessor at 4 different locations across the UK. The written skills, just like SQE1, are completed as computer-based assessments, and all of the assessments are under very strictly timed conditions. So that's a very important point to take on board, and something that, again, we prepare our students for at the University of Law. And I think you can see from that summary of what those assessments involve, they're very different from the traditional types of assessments that many of the people listening to this podcast will have sat to date, whether it be A-levels or their undergraduate degrees, which will typically involve problem-solving questions, maybe some knowledge-based multiple-choice assessments. So there is definitely the scope here to really kind of understand the assessment regime and to adapt and get the best assessment technique possible. And that's what we hope we do at the University of Law in our preparation courses. So just to kind of summarise, what does the SQE mean in terms of how do you qualify in becoming a solicitor in England and Wales? Under the new regime, students need to pass both sets of those assessments, so that's SQE1 and SQE2, and there is a specific order there. You have to pass SQE1 before you're allowed to go on and sit SQE2. You also need to have a degree, but it doesn't now need to be a qualifying law degree. It can be a degree in any subject. Students have to undertake 2 years of qualifying work experience. And again, there's a little bit more flexibility here than typically there was under a training contract, in that you can do that qualifying work experience with up to 4 employers, and you can do it at different points in your journey to qualifying. So you may even be able to do some qualifying work experience while you're an undergraduate if you do relevant work experience while you're studying. And then finally, the fourth requirement is to meet the SRA's character and suitability requirements, which was always the case under the old regime. And so what's going to happen is the SQE will eventually replace the old LPC and training contract route in its entirety. And the LPC is already declining in numbers and will be phased out over the next 10 years, although I think it will go probably quite a lot quicker than that.
So you did mention briefly you would need a degree. Do you need to have studied law at undergraduate level, and will you need a conversion course?
It's a really good question, and it's probably one of the questions that we get most frequently asked at the University of Law. So the technical answer is no, you don't need a law degree now to qualify as a solicitor under the SQE regime, and all you need is a degree. But I think the lack of a law degree has led to a lot of confusion and misconceptions in the student body. And the reason for that is that whilst technically you don't need a law degree, or indeed a conversion course to qualify, as half of the content of the SQE syllabus, the functioning legal knowledge I was speaking about earlier, is made up of academic law, which is traditionally studied on either a law degree or a conversion course, we believe very firmly that some form of academic law training will be essential, whether that's a law degree or a law conversion course. So what that means is if you're on a law degree already, that's great. And that will be excellent preparation for the SQE regime. And my top tip would be make sure that you retain all of the materials and notes that you have created over the course of your degree, because you will need to bring those forwards into the SQE regime. If you don't want to, or you're not studying law as your first degree, we certainly would recommend a law conversion course of one sort or another, so that you can cover these really important elements of the SQE syllabus. The conversion courses that we offer at the University of Law are very popular, and I think it's important to understand the relevance of having a law degree or a conversion course in terms of your employability opportunities. I do a lot of work with the law firms in pulling together my SQE programs, and certainly from my interactions with those firms and other legal employers over the last few years, the vast majority of firms recognize this really important stage of training, whether it's a law degree or a non-law degree, and many firms continue to fund students who've got a non-law degree to do a conversion course. And I would say for anybody not doing a law degree, students with non-law degrees do continue to be a very popular source of talent for legal employers. So don't worry if you haven't got a law degree. But for those who have got a law degree, that's great. You should have the academic law that you need for part of the SQE syllabus already under your belt, but just make sure that you keep everything safely and bring it forwards.
We're going to look a bit now into some frequently asked questions. We've already briefly touched on it. The LPC, is that still an option? Are people still eligible to sit it?
This is very much going to depend on your own individual profile. So it is quite technical, and there's more information on the SRA's website about this. But basically, the only students that can continue with the LPC route now is if they are currently studying for a law degree, which they started in September 2021, and the degree itself started before the 31st of December 2021. So we may have some third years that are still technically eligible for the LPC route, but it's becoming a diminishing number of law graduates that are eligible. Non-law graduates, so anybody currently on a non-law degree or those who are currently studying for A-levels, they will all have to take the SQE route now. And what we're seeing is, I think, 2024, this September, will be this a real tipping point from this transition from the LPC to the SQE. Already at the University of Law this year, we saw that there were more students studying for SQE than the LPC. It was probably a split of 60%, 40% to the SQE. I think that's going to dramatically increase by September 2024 for the reasons I've just outlined. And it's probably more likely to be 80%, 20%, or it could even be as high as 90% of our students will be using the SQE route over the LPC.
Does it take longer to qualify through the SQE?
It's a good question, and one that, again, students or prospective students frequently ask. On the old LPC regime, typically, if you were studying full-time, it would be one academic year. With the SQE, this is where the sort of flexibility kicks in. So we do still offer academic programmes that prepare students to sit and pass SQE 1 and SQE 2, but we also build into that programme additional content beyond that which you need to pass SQE 1 and 2, because that is what our law firm clients have asked us to do, because a lot of the content that was on the old LPC was dropped out of the SQE regime, but it's still considered to be really important practical content that employers want their future trainees to have before they join them. So we still have a full 1 year academic program. If anything, I would say it's a little bit fuller than the LPC, and that's because the SQE assessments in functioning legal knowledge and the legal skills are fuller than the LPC's assessment of them. However, for those students who don't want that additional content, don't need it, they may be going to firms that don't require that additional content, or they may have acquired the knowledge that they need because they've worked in legal practice in some way before doing the SQE regime, you could take less time, and then you would only need to do the sort of the preparation courses, which if studied full-time are a lot shorter than a full one-year academic programme. So the SQE 1 prep course at the University of Law typically would take about 3 months full-time, and our SQE 2 prep course typically would take about 2 months full-time. So it does, I think, show you that there's a lot of flexibility now. However, one of the advantages of doing the full academic programme is that it is a master's programme. It does help students with funding, and it also does have that extra content that, again, is very popular with employers. So I think you can see there isn't a one size fits all here. It really depends on your circumstances, and we will try and advise prospective students according to their needs as to what they should actually be studying.
Talk a bit about expectations of the fees that might appear.
Yeah, so I think one of the things that does sometimes take students by surprise is how expensive the SQE assessments are. And these fees are usually not included, and I'm not aware of any other training provider that includes these fees in their course fees. So these are usually on top of the fees that students have to pay for their programme of study, and they are significant. So for SQE 1, currently students are paying £1,798 to sit both FLK 1 and 2. And for SQE 2, it rises. Those assessments currently cost £2,766. So that you can see it's a significant investment. And if you have to resit with both SQE 1 and 2, it's the same fee again, albeit if it's only one paper in the SQE 1, you'd only have to pay half of the fee that I just quoted. So it's significant, and I think it's a really important point for students to be aware of.
You offer an employment promise of secure a job in 9 months or your money back. Can you explain a little bit about that?
Okay, so at the University of Law, we've offered the employability promise on a number of our programmes for some period of time now, and the details are set out on our website. But just to sort of summarise what this actually means is that provided you've passed your programme of study, if within 9 months of leaving that programme you are not successful in getting employment, and I have to say that the vast majority do get legal employment, and that's the most important thing to my mind. But if you are unfortunate and you're not in that position, we refund the fees in the following way. So 50% of your fees are given to you as cash and returned to you, and then the remaining 50% of the fees that you'd already paid are allocated towards another programme of study at the University of Law. And we have a lot of interesting academic masters in law, which allow students to study extra subjects and enhance their skills and knowledge, and hopefully through that enhance their employability.
Tell us a bit about the work experience you offer and how it helps.
Okay, so at the moment on our master's programmes, preparing students for the SQE, we offer 4 weeks qualifying work experience, and that's carried out in our law clinic where students undertake real tasks for real clients supervised by solicitors who work at the University of Law. So it's very akin to working in a law firm, and this qualifying work experience can be signed off by us and would contribute towards that 2 year period of qualifying work experience that I was speaking about earlier, which is one of the requirements that you need to satisfy to ultimately qualify as a solicitor. So it effectively allows you to complete a chunk of that 24-month QWE that's required to qualify as a solicitor. But even if you don't need it because you've already done qualifying work experience, or you're about to join a firm on a 2 year qualifying work experience placement, it's really useful to develop those kind of key skills and that understanding of what would be expected from you in the profession. And I think it really helps set up students for interviews with prospective employers, and to kind of understand the profession more widely. And certainly it's extremely popular. That is a sort of very formal and structured qualifying work experience offer that we make to students. And as you might expect, there are various terms and conditions that apply to that as well, including requirements to have passed the SQE assessments. But we also, as a university, have a fantastic career service. It's won many awards. It's extremely proactive and supportive of students. We recognise how important it is that students get the right outcomes having studied with the University of Law. You know, the journey to qualifying is long and it's expensive, and we want our students to end up with good legal employment. And so whilst you're a student, we provide a lot of support in terms of making applications to employers, but we also provide lots of opportunities to do legal work through our pro bono opportunities, and also with the network of relationships that we've built up over many years with legal employers. So there will always be a vast selection of work placement opportunities for students, both paid and unpaid, whilst you're studying with us, which you can use to again develop those kind of key skills, behaviours and aptitudes that are expected and will allow you to really shine in any future interview.
What are the challenges students might face on this course?
I think the key challenges are that the SQE 1 and 2 assessments are extremely tough, high stakes assessments, and there's no getting away from that. They are set by the SRA for a purpose, to protect the consumers of legal services so that they have the best entrance possible into the profession. And I think the other thing that makes it sometimes tough for both us and our students is the fact that these assessments are not under our control. So whilst we do everything that we can in our power to prepare students for these assessments, because we're ultimately not the assessment setter, we're in often the same position as students in that we won't know what the papers will have covered in any particular sitting, although obviously we will make very educated guesses about what that is from our experience as a law school. But I think that degree of uncertainty for many students can be a little bit unnerving, because they are used to being at university or at school where there is some sort of ownership of those assessments. But I think the way we can reassure ourselves is this is very normal with the vast majority of the professions, and the law profession is adapting, as are all the law schools and students, to this new regime. The second challenge that I think, and this is a very real challenge, is that the syllabus that is assessed through the SQE regime is enormous. So it covers all of the academic law that you'd study on a law degree, plus all of the new vocational content. Now, previously on the LPC, that academic law wasn't really assessed. So it's almost sort of doubled the syllabus. And therefore, it's a huge amount to cover in terms of the new content, as well as revising the academic law that students should have acquired before starting on their preparation for the SQE. So that's a really important point to bear in mind. If you work hard and you follow the programme, students will be successful, but it's a bit like training for a marathon. There's going to be a lot of hours of work to put in before you can get over the finishing line. And I guess the kind of third point I would make is, for a lot of students, we recognise the fact that they are doing all of this and often will have other commitments in terms of work to fund their studies or caring responsibilities. And I think it's really important to be realistic about how you juggle those commitments and studying. There are lots of part-time options, and if you have got commitments that involve you dedicating a number of or significant number of hours a week to other activities, we would really recommend you take a part-time course. A full-time course is what it says and often will involve between 40 and 50 hours of study a week, which is significant.
And for anyone looking to qualify, what would your top tips be?
Okay, so for those who are looking to qualify through SQE regime, my advice would be to remember that one of the reasons for its creation was to introduce flexibility, and there's no longer one size fits all. So sometimes you can think outside the box a bit more than perhaps one could have done in the LPC regime, where you just simply had to do the LPC to become a solicitor. Now, there are options. You can still do an academic programme, but you can also think about working and studying using the kind of prep courses to get ready for the assessments. And so I think in order to kind of get yourself to where you need to be, there are a number of extra questions you need to ask yourself. So what are your career goals? Where do you want to work? What type of work would you like to end up doing? How will you fund your SQE studies and those assessments? Remember the fees that I spoke about a moment ago. How much time can you commit to studying? And do you want to be able to work alongside studying for the SQE, remembering that the SQE is a very intense preparation course? And then I think the final tip I would mention is that through the opening up of the regime, there are a lot of really interesting apprenticeship opportunities to qualify using SQE, including quite a lot of graduate apprenticeships. And there are a number of employers who are adopting these. So again, that's something that's really exciting and may help some students in terms of being able to work alongside studying for the SQE and having an employer who will contribute towards the fees that are required to sit SQE 1 and 2.
Thank you so much for your time today.
Well, thank you very much for having me. It's been a pleasure to talk about the SQE, and it's very exciting to have seen all of the different students who've been through it so far, and I look forward to welcoming many more successful SQE students in the future.
Thanks again to Dr. Jill for their time. If you want to find out more about the SQE, you can click the links in the description. Make sure you give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts. If you want to get in touch, you can email us at podcast@prospects.ac.uk or find us on Instagram and TikTok. All the links are in the description. Thanks very much for listening, and we'll see you next time.